That song is, I mean, it just has special meaning to me. I'm a daddy. Something happened to me, too. You know, I just stopped doing the things that I was doing. Started walking with the Lord 33 years ago, a little over. So, praise the Lord. If you can kneel, please do so. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence as we gather here on Sabbath day. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you and you alone are being glorified. Thank you for making it so easy to share truth with others, because you wrote it all down for us. We didn't have to write the Bible. So thank you. And thank you for teaching us not to inject our own opinion, especially when it comes to prophetic utterance. There's no prophecy in the Scripture is of any private opinion. And we know that. You have defined every symbol. So please bless us with opportunities, especially now as these false prophets and wolves go forward and declare things that you have not said. They're scaring people, Father. But at least it allows us a foot in the door. So thank you for letting us be there and help as many as we possibly can. Bless us with videos, tracks, whatever the case may be, so that we can go forth and let the truth fall into the hands of many like the leaves of autumn. Thank you for blessing the remainder of this service with your presence and for blessing everyone on our prayer list. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, our King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, today's sermon. For the most part, if you've looked at the notes down below underneath the chat room, and it's not going to be that long of a sermon either, because I'm not going to inject a lot of my private opinion, if you will, because the Lord said it plainly enough in His Word regarding the following truths, that so that many or any man, woman, and child can hear it and understand it. So this sermon is going to be mostly just Scripture. When King David was in prayer, he stated this in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3. He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. In other words, the Lord is with us every step of the day, from the moment we get up in the morning to the moment we go to sleep. Our Father is interested in us because we are very important to Him. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And why are we much more valuable to Him than a flock of birds? Genesis 1:27 says that God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And so according to Acts 17:28, it is in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Our Lord even stated through one of His prophets in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And so the truth is, our Lord chose each of us before He even created the world, for it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And when speaking of how we were created, King David goes so far as to declare in Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. Yet, being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. When as yet there was none of them. It's amazing. I mean, in other words, we're no mistake. None of us. We all have a duty and a reason for being here. In fact, our God determined well in advance of the day of our birth what we shall do day by day if we stay obedient to Him. For it is written in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 28, that our God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. You think some of the racists, if they heard that verse, would knock it off. But they don't. going on, it says, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. You know, the basic reality here is we are fearfully and wonderfully made, according to Psalm 139:14. He even knit us together, piece by piece, in our mother's womb. For it also says in Psalm 139:13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The prophet David also stated in Psalm 71:5-7, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. And even though many that don't know him as we do see him as an angry God, we, his loving children, know all too well about this love of his. And this is why the prophet John stated in 1 John 4:16 that we have known and believed the love of God that hath to us. Believe the love that God hath to us, rather. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And then 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And so as Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven, give good gifts unto them that ask him? And he can do this because he is the perfect Father. In fact, Jesus not only declared that, he stated we can be perfect as well, for it is written in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And yes, at times some of us don't understand when we go through certain trials and tribulations in life, and some of us wonder why our Heavenly Father allows these situations that come upon us. But when you know about this love he has for you, it becomes clear in your mind and heart that even though it may seem like a rough patch in life, it will help us to grow stronger in our faith so as to reach that perfection we strive out to. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:31-33. You know, in fact, James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, because he's no respecter of persons, right? And so even if you don't see it as a good gift at the time you're experiencing the trial, because a lot of us, you know, allow our flesh to guide us, trust him anyway. Because his love goes beyond even the understanding of the angels. And they're a lot smarter than we are. I mean, the truth is, how many of us have gone through a trial we didn't want to be in and prayed daily to get out of it, but years later, when we look back, we see how much that intense trial blessed us in life. You know, I would think every obedient Christian alive knows exactly what I'm talking about here. Our Father's love is that deep. A lot deeper than the earthly Father. I mean, think about it. The earthly Father will seek to help us when we go through a rough time. Most of them don't realize how sometimes it's best for the child to live that intense experience just to learn from it. But sadly, most in the world today would look at a father who allows such things to happen as being hateful towards his children. But we, the children of God, know better, because his love makes all of this very clear unto his children that love him with all their heart and mind and soul. He always has a good reason for it, no matter how difficult for us to understand it. He's the Father of lights. He's not Satan. You know, it was stated long ago in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So again, he sees the end from the beginning of every trial we live in, and he knows long before we can even contemplate how the trial is going to bless us or hurt us if we're disobedient. And if it looks to be a problem for us, well, then he simply won't allow it to happen, because Jeremiah 31:3 also says, the Lord loves thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, this love he has for us and amazing and far more is amazing and far more real than any love mankind can experience in the world. And, I mean, mankind can't even contemplate how much the Lord takes part in our lives and how His love dictates how things are going to go. In fact, it says in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." So, if you had a mind like that, you'd be able to contemplate why the tough trial you're going through at this point is good for you. But we don't have that kind of a mind. But our Father does. And think about this as well. When we look into how the people of this world paint our loving Father as a tyrant, or they create their own false gods out of wood, stone, and stubble, even their false gods, check that out, are hateful towards them. Wherein they perform these crazy rituals wherein people are killed to appease their God's anger. Remember Chemosh from the Moabites, where they would literally put their children in the fire? Their God was their false God that they made out of stone was so angry that they would sacrifice their own children to it. I mean, they can't even come up with a friendly God. And so naturally, they're going to assume the God of love is going to be like their false gods. Because Satan is the one dictating all that. And so we know when it comes to our God, it states in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love." Yeah, he will rest in his love. "He will joy over thee with singing." I mean, he literally finds joy in his obedient child and sings with joy because of them. This God we worship loves, and he loves us, and he will never stop loving us, nor will he ever stop doing good things for us. He's our Father. And so, as it says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." Because we can't contemplate what he can contemplate. So we got to learn to trust him. He's got it handled. I mean, seriously, if you look back and just look at all these prophecies, don't even, contemplate all the other things, or even the things in your own life where you saw his hand move. Look at the prophecies, every single solitary one of them, rock solid, thousands of years in advance. And on top of that, he counts the hairs on your head. But think about that statement where it says, "which thou knowest not." What he has to offer his obedient child via his love goes far beyond our ability to even comprehend. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And to love him is to obey him. And do you want to see how deep and how far his love really goes? He loves us so much that he literally promised to help us keep the law he etched in stone, that he knew the day he wrote it, that when we keep it, it would make our lives extremely happy. I mean, did you catch that? Even though we are sinful and bound by a flesh that moves us to break his law, his love is so amazing that he not only sent his son to die for us so as to use his spilled blood as the payment for our sins, he actually helps us keep his law when we accept his son as the offering for our sins. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." He literally helps us to be his children so his love can shower down upon us. And when we walk in this love day by day, we become a literal treasure unto him. Seriously, think about that. Even though he is the one that gives unto us all the blessings and creates all things seen and unseen, when we love him back with obedient hearts, we become a treasure unto him. In fact, it says in Exodus 19, verse 5, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." And he doesn't make such promises as this in a willy-nilly fashion as mankind does on a daily basis. He does all he can to help us establish this walk he has ordained us to travel. Jeremiah 32:41 says, "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart." and with my whole soul. Does that sound like the tyrant the fallen preachers, priests, teachers, and atheists keep describing? Doesn't sound like that to me. I mean, it's clear by his own word that he is busy helping us each and every day stay in the path set before us that will lead us home to heaven. I mean, in fact, Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen? But we have to seek him and learn of him by opening the word he handed each and every one of us. And if we do this daily, Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "Thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And when you find him, which is childishly easy to do so, then Psalm 37:4 says, "You will quickly delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And by the way, his love is so enveloping that he even gives you the desire to keep, you know, to seek him out. Is that something? I mean, Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I mean, amazing, isn't it? And every soul on earth, from the believer to the non-believer, will admit they all have an inner longing for God or something, you know, like a higher power or something like the Alcoholics Anonymous say. And yeah, this includes the atheist too, by the way, who boldly states otherwise. I mean, they can lie to themselves all they like, but I have met more than one in my life, atheists that is, that so far, that after many years of spewing hatred for the Lord, they finally found him just as he created them to find him. So sadly, though, most allow Satan to manipulate that inner longing for God to make them think that they can find him, that kind of love in other areas. You know, instead, I mean, everything from the lust of the flesh to false religions. You know, like the old saying goes, many are looking for love in all the wrong places. They don't seem to realize that their Creator is there for them. In fact, Ephesians 3:20 says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And yes, we have a mighty power in us when we accept his Son as Savior. That power is the Holy Spirit, the promised Comforter. This God we worship is our greatest and most loving encourager. For it is written in 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work or word and work." And yes, when we hit a rough spot in life, he is right there to comfort us, even in the midst of the trial. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "It is our Father who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." That's right. Some of the experiences we have help others find Christ when they realize how we go through it with a smile during the trial. And so remember, when you are brokenhearted or in the midst of any other trial, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And as a shepherd carries a lost lamb to safety, our Heavenly Father does the same. For it is also written in Isaiah 40:11, that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And yes, as we tread this mortal coil, we will weep quite often. But even here, we have his promise in Revelation 21:3-4, which declared through his prophet John 2,000 years ago that the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We all need to remember, and especially now that Satan is about to appear unto mankind and threaten harm and death unto all that refuse to break God's law while claiming to be Jesus Christ incarnate at the same time, our God is not one that will kill his obedient child for keeping his law. So I already know. All of us already know how to avoid that all, that fault or all. But Jesus spoke of our Father's love for us when he prayed, you know, before he was arrested at Gethsemane. And he prayed so as to receive the penalty, to be able to handle receiving the penalty for all the sins of us, those of us that broke his law. Jesus said this in John 17, verses 20 to 23. This is part of his prayer that he's praying now. He said this, neither pray I for these alone. You know, he's talking about the apostles and the people that followed him. He says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. That's us. Because we're reading the Bible. So, he also prays for them which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That love is amazing. Jesus literally allowed himself to take our punishment of death for the sins we all committed so that we can experience his love for eternity. And better yet, when we accept this love he places deep within us, Jesus ended that prayer by stating this in John 17:26. Because he does place this love deep within us. He says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And contrary to popular belief, and that of the atheist and the apostate, Jesus is not against us at all. He is for us, for it is plainly stated in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who could be against us? And again, when I say for us, I'm talking about obedient Christians. But still, yeah, we're all sinners. But those sins have been forgiven. And our Father does not count them any more as strikes against our character, for it is written in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, forgiveness. Jesus died so we can be reconciled unto the Father, and all those sins can be no longer counted against us. And in the perfect character of his Father, that act on Calvary was the ultimate expression of his love towards us, for it is also written in 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and set his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. But if we love none another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. The Father gave us his only begotten Son so that we may have life. How can anyone deny such a love as this? Romans 8:32 says, he that spareth not his own Son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so, if you accept his Son and Savior, then you accept the love of the Father, and the Father will then reside in your very own heart. 1 John 2:23 stated long ago that he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. And when you accept him as Lord and King of your life, nothing can ever separate you from him. For it is also penned in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes that dying God of this world. He is a creature, and he cannot stop us from receiving the love of our Father. And he can't take that love away either. And think on this as well. When we come unto Jesus and accept him as Lord, it is a major event in heaven each time a soul does that. I mean, Jesus literally said in Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And as Paul stated in Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And so, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And John 1, verses 12 and 13 says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And everybody here knows what verse that is. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by our Lord on this Sabbath day. So, Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us with your presence, and thank you so much for your word. As we look into it, we see love abounding from cover to cover. And it's nice to go and jump around and see how your word literally speaks to us from book to book, deep into the heart. And so, thank you for blessing us as we go into the Word each day when we do our own personal studies as well. Please bless us in the remainder of this Sabbath and this week ahead of us. Please bless us in ways that allows your hand to be seen, not only by our eyes, but by those that seek salvation and seek that peace and that love that Jesus has to offer, but they don't even know it yet. Please bless us with opportunities to help more souls gain forgiveness and salvation. And again, we uplift all those on our prayer list, all those in attendance today, and all those that were mentioned in the prayer request in the room. We love you, Father, and thank you for teaching us how to love you. But most of all, thank you for loving us first. And please accept this prayer in that same love, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus, Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Amen and amen.